From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 47 of Little Brother, dated the 14th of August, 2021. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. So, let's get started. Well, guess what? Windows has another vulnerability. On Wednesday, Microsoft announced that its Print Spooler has another vulnerability because of course it does. As of right now, there is no patch, so even if you are being a responsible user and keeping your software up to date, you are still affected. The good news is that even though this one is classified as a remote code execution bug, it appears to actually require physical access to the computer to exploit it. The unrealistic recommendation that I would give you is to avoid Windows, but the realistic one would be to disable the Print Spooler service until Microsoft can get their act together. The idea of Snapchat is that messages, or snaps as they're called in the app, disappear after viewing. Were the messages stored in an encrypted format, this might actually work. However, it appears that they're not. Security research Siddharth Dushanta has produced a proof of concept to recover snaps from Android devices. Strangely enough, no special forensic software is needed, just a basic debugging tool, ADB, will do the trick because the messages are never actually deleted. It's almost as if it needs to become a regular feature of this show. Last week, it emerged that consulting firm Accenture has fallen victim to the Lockbit ransomware. The attackers in this case made off with an astonishing 6 terabytes of Accenture's data and made a demand of approximately $50 million. There is some speculation that it may have been an inside job. Like any application, search engines make a number of efforts to improve their performance. Quite simply, the faster the engine can produce results, the more satisfied the users will be and the less likely to go to the competition. Bing has a feature that preloads the results from searches related to the one you've entered. So if you should decide that one of those searches is more appropriate to what you're looking for, the results are already loaded into your browser. For example, if you happen to look up tacos, you might find that it has preloaded results also for chicken tacos. So what could go wrong? Well, Reddit user Legion of One reports that in a corporate environment, it almost cost someone their job. While perusing proxy logs that are common in corporate environments, some searches turned up child pornography. It turns out the user wasn't looking for that, but other users who were looking for that were looking for something that this user was looking for. And Bing made an association between the two. Another Reddit user, Scaleyard7, followed up by demonstrating how you could look at the logs to determine if this is what happened. My advice, as with all things Microsoft, is avoid if it is at all possible. Capsule hotels in Japan are low-cost hotels where the rented space is just barely large enough to accommodate the guest's bed. Some more advanced ones may have the ability to fold the bed into a couch. However, the point is that many guests are packed into exceptionally small spaces. In the interest of providing inexpensive accommodation in notoriously expensive locations. But what do you do when you have a noisy neighbor? Well, security research Kaya Supa tried asking politely for his neighbor to quiet down. However, when that fell on deaf ears, he explored the hotel's network and found a way to turn the lights on and off and collapse the bed into a couch in his noisier neighbor's room. He scripted this and triggered it to go off every 2 hours. Supa noted that he disclosed all of the security issues he exploited to the hotel and that the hotel has since fixed the problems. Despite the pandemic showing signs of being under control, shortages of computer chips continue. This coming week, General Motors is shutting down production at several pickup truck plants because once again they are not able to source the computer chips that they need to build vehicles. Intel CEO Pat Gelsinger has warned that things won't get back to normal, quite possibly for a year or two. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Reddit user and ham radio operator KN4HSM had a run-in with the operator of the amateurradio.digital website over security. In general, websites and other digital systems that have a login with a password should take steps to ensure that the password is not stored anywhere on the system. The usual way of achieving this, and still making it usable, is to take the password when it's given, add a consistent but arbitrary string to it called the SALT, and then run it through a cryptographic hashing algorithm. These algorithms are effectively impossible to reverse, but will always produce the same output for the same input. If the password matches, the result of the algorithm, called a hash, will also match, but the password can't be determined from looking at the hash. As such, websites can safely store the hash, allowing it to determine if the password is correct without ever actually knowing long-term what the password is. Well, KN4HSM uncovered evidence that the website is retaining the password, specifically that it was able to email it to him, a big no-no in web security, and that it was able to display it to him. He approached the website operator with a request for his account to be deleted and explaining why as, quote, "I'm shocked that in 2021 you're not hashing your passwords," end quote. This was met with a profanity-laced response from the website operator. The website in question provides contact lists for users of digital ham radios using the DMR system. The website operator, demonstrating unacceptable levels of arrogance and pettiness, set the description for this user to banned, with the idea that he would now have to explain to other hams why his name shows up that way. I do not believe that the explanation will actually work in the website owner's favor. Apple stepped in it this week. That's putting it mildly. On August 5th, Apple deployed two new technologies to its iOS platform, which is the basis of the iPhone, iPod, and iPad devices. On the face of it, Apple's technologies appear to have the acceptable motive of protecting children, but I must ask, is this not how the camel keeps getting its nose into the tent? So let's start by talking about what we're talking about. Both of the technologies target images saved or shared using the device, looking for harmful content. The first of these technologies compares the images it finds to known child porn images and alerts the authorities in the events of a match. The second one is an optional filter that attempts to detect nudity and seeks parental approval before allowing such images to be sent or received. The Electronic Frontier Foundation were the first to speak out. They acknowledge, as do I, that child exploitation is a profoundly serious problem. There is no issue with the idea that it needs to be stamped out. In this particular case, the problem is that the technology is working in a privacy-violating and invasive way. The EFF has acknowledged that Apple have explained at great length how the technologies they've deployed will respect users' privacy. However, calling the sky red doesn't make it not blue. The greatest intentions may be in place here in the interest of protecting the user's privacy, but the technologies are fundamentally violative. This is disappointing because Apple has a long history of championing user privacy. Lebanese cryptography researcher Nadim Kobesi wrote an open letter to Apple, which has so far been signed by over 8,000 individuals and dozens of organizations. The largest concern is that since the scanning takes place on the end user's device, it bypasses any end-to-end encryption that would otherwise protect user privacy. The letter reads in part, quote, "Immediately after Apple's announcement, experts around the world sounded the alarm on how Apple's proposed measures could turn every iPhone into a device that is continuously scanning all photos and messages that pass through it in order to report any objectionable content to law enforcement, setting a precedent where a personal device becomes a radical new tool for invasive surveillance with little oversight to prevent eventual abuse and unreasonable expansion of the scope of the surveillance," end quote. Among the objections, over 800 messages have been posted on the topic on Apple's internal Slack channel as of yesterday. This incident demonstrates that Apple is perfectly willing to build technological weaknesses into their privacy protections. For their part, Apple has expressed regret over the confusion that has emerged around this, claiming that their messaging has been jumbled pretty badly and the announcement was widely misunderstood. That's not worth much. The evil application of these technologies is pretty clear, and there is no degree of corporate spin that can make it unclear. It seems to me more like Apple regrets loyal customers jumping ship. Dear listener, I don't care where you fall on the political spectrum. This should turn your stomach. It's all about protecting the children now, but what happens when the same technology is deployed to look instead for signs of political affiliation or race or ethnicity or religious affiliation or sexual activities of consenting adults? Now, I'm sure some of you are going to say this would never fly in the U.S., but let's be clear. Apple devices are sold the world over, and Apple have just demonstrated that they can and that they will build anti-privacy technologies into their devices. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fonkaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to Albany 2600 Group. Music used in this episode was Adrenochrome by Super Action 80, and our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.